It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Today's episode is brought to you by Beekeepers Naturals. You and your family deserve to feel your best all day, every day, which is why Beekeepers Naturals creates a clean, science-based remedy that naturally supports your daily health. We especially love the Bee Soothed cough syrup. Bee Soothed contains no dyes, no drugs, no dirty chemicals or refined sugars. When you think of cough syrup, you think of that bitter, artificial taste, but this one is actually really nice. It has a lightly sweet, sort of natural berry flavour. And if you're feeling lousy, you can take it to promote recovery and soothe your throat. Or as soon as you feel a tickle, you can use it to support your immune system. Bee Soothed isn't the only beekeeper's product that we love. As podcasters, we talk a lot. The Propolis Throat Spray is a daily defender, and when it comes to supporting your immune system and soothing a scratchy throat, you can take 4 sprays each morning and the natural immune supporting sprays soothe your throat and promote recovery. Propolis is what bees use to defend their hives from germs. It's the hive's immune system. And if it's good enough for the bees, it's good enough for me. Get some natural immunity support in your medicine cabinet. The cough syrup always sells out quickly, so be sure to snatch it up while you can. You can save 15% off your order by going to beekeepersnaturals.com/crimelapse. That's beekeepersnaturals.com/crimelapse to get 15% off your order. Meet your new medicine cabinet with Beekeepers Naturals.
Welcome to Crime Lapse. I am Eileen.
And I'm Charlie.
On Christmas Eve 2014, the city of Coventry was bitterly cold. Overnight temperatures dropped as low as -8 degrees Celsius, and shoppers braved the hammering sleet showers to get some last-minute shopping in. The festive season is a time for appreciating what you have and looking forward to what the new year may bring. It's a time for hope, cheer, and love. As someone once said, the saddest thing about betrayal is that it never comes from your enemies. This is all mine.
Samina Imam, affectionately known as Sam by those closest to her, was a 34-year-old regional marketing manager for Costco, a shop where people famously came for the pizza and stayed for the diamonds. Samina provided marketing assistance to 4 different stores, from the South Coast branch in Southampton to Cardiff, Bristol and Coventry. She was living in Cardiff, her family were living back in Essex, and she filled her days with working, which she enjoyed. She was career-driven, professional, and was popular amongst her friends. Samina was planning on going back to Essex after Christmas to spend Boxing Day with her family, but she never arrived. They attempted to make contact with her, but they couldn't, so they alerted the police, and a missing persons case was opened. Samina was described as being an English Pakistani woman of medium build and approximately 5'3" tall. She had brown hair and brown eyes and was last seen wearing a dark coat at around 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve at Costco in Torrington Avenue, Tile Hill, Coventry. Also missing was Samina's Black 1 Series BMW. PC Paul Azipardi said that police were becoming increasingly concerned for Samina's welfare as the days went on. Colleagues, friends and family of Sam worked with the police to open the doors to her life. And once the facts began to come together, Samina's movements following the end of her working day became clearer. Samina had been preparing for the festive period which she would spend with her lover Roger Cooper. She'd bought a bottle of Bellini and a tub of sweets for a 2-night stay at the 4-star Malmaison Hotel in Birmingham.
After two nights in the hotel with him, Samina planned to return back to Essex to spend Boxing Day with her parents and family. Interpersonal relationships between senior members of staff were against the company policies, so the pair kept their romance under wraps for 2 years. Not only because the company forbid it, but also because Roger had a long-term live-in partner at home. It was discovered that Samina had engaged in a 2-year affair with Roger before her disappearance. It was also revealed that Samina was not the only one Roger was seeing. Roger, age 41, lived with Susan Potts and was seeing both Samina Imam and Sinead Sweeney on the side, who both worked at Costco. Samina and Roger both worked for Costco. Her, the regional marketing manager, and Roger, the manager of the Coventry store's warehouse. After 2 years, Samina had decided she was worth more than hotel rooms and second-rate love, and told Roger that if he wanted to continue their relationship, she had to be the only woman in Roger's life. Roger agreed, and the pair were set to properly start their life together on the stroke of midnight, seeing in the new year together, and Samina was so excited. At 4 p.m. on the 24th of December, Samina left work at the Costco store in Coventry, minutes after Roger had left. They both drove off in their own cars before meeting up close by. Sam took her luggage out of her BMW and moved it into Roger's Audi, where they drove off together, leaving Samina's car in a quiet side road. The pair began their journey to visit Roger's brother David in Leicester. The brothers were close, and David had a Star Wars figurine to gift to Roger for Christmas. During the 40-minute car ride to Leicester, Samina called her sister, and they confirmed plans for the day after Christmas. Samina said she would be there and asked how her mother was getting on with Christmas prep. Roger and Samina arrived at David's house in Huggington Drive in Leicester around 5 p.m. The evening was dark and cold. The pair entered David's house together. At 6:25 p.m, Roger left David's house and headed back to Coventry. But after entering the home with Samina, he now left alone. Roger was interviewed on January 1st, 2015. During this interview, Roger maintained he had told Samina he wouldn't be leaving his partner and he wouldn't be meeting her at the hotel.
Start with the day that you saw it, the last day you saw it.
It was around 4 p.m, but I haven't got that specific time, so it's around 4 p.m.
Yeah.
I was in my office, in the work. I was with there were four of us in the room, so there's two other people apart from her. One of them is another regional manager, which is what she has been doing.
Yeah.
And the other one works for me in the store.
Yeah.
And I was leaving, so I gave the regional manager a hug because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And yeah, wished her Happy Christmas. And Sam says, "Where's mine then?" So I went over there and gave her a hug. And said, "I'll talk to you later." And then I left.
Okay. And that was at 4 p.m.
Roughly.
Around 4 p.m. Yeah. On the, which day was
Christmas
it?
Eve.
Christmas Eve. So that was on the 24th of December. And left the site, yeah?
And left the car park. And within 5 minutes, I'm sure it's within 5 minutes, she phoned.
Okay, she's phoned you. What did you say?
She's saying that, "So I'll see you tonight then." Like, "No, I'm not going to be there." She's just trying to persuade me one more time.
What happened then?
It was a 2-minute conversation, if that. It was a brief one. And then it was like...
How did it leave it? Did she sound?
A little disappointed, but I think she still thought I was going to go. So not as angry as irked as she probably should have.
You say the call lasted about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And was that the last time you heard from her?
No, I got a text. That's the last time I heard her voice.
The last one. Well, tell me about the text message. Yeah.
It's a couple of hours later, nearer 7 o'clock. I can read it. Do you read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm fuming, full stop. I'm going to where I am truly cared for.
What do you think she meant from by that text message?
I assume she'd gone to Birmingham. See one of her friends. It was an assumption. I've got no basis for that at all, because I knew that she would want to eventually be in London to see her family because of her mum.
He then changed his story and claimed that they had been together, but following this admission that he didn't want to leave his partner, Samina got so annoyed that Roger dropped her at Tesco in Coventry, and that was the last time he saw her. The police codenamed the investigation Operation Ceramic. There are over 51,000 CCTV cameras in Britain, and on any one day, you could be captured on a camera up to 70 times. Between this evidence, her mobile phone and number plate recognition, the police were able to track Samina's movements from leaving her place of employment at 4 p.m. to moving herself and her belongings into Roger's car. Detective Superintendent Mark Payne, leading the investigation, said, "Samina has been missing for 2 weeks, and we are extremely concerned for her. Today's inquiries are part of an extensive investigation into her disappearance. Samina has many friends and colleagues who have been incredibly supportive. We continue to work closely with her family as this investigation progresses." Roger's brother David was questioned on January 4th. During David's police interview, when asked if he knew Samina, he claimed to only recognise her via a photo the police had of the missing woman.
Right. David, obviously the purpose for today, for speaking to you, is in connection with a missing person inquiry.
Okay.
A lady by the name of Samima Imam. Do you know her?
I've seen a photo you've got.
Yeah.
I didn't know the name.
Was that the photo I've got down there?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a picture of the lady that's missing that we're making inquiries about.
Okay, right.
Have you ever met her?
I'm familiar. I've met twice, someone like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know her by that name?
No, I never knew her name.
No. Did you know her by any name?
No.
No? And can you tell me what you know about her?
She worked with my brother.
Yeah.
I know he...
Yeah.
Is that the best way to say that?
Oh, they were in a relationship.
No, I wouldn't go that far. So.
Why would you not go that far?
Because he was in a relationship with his girlfriend.
Oh, so, yeah.
So...
Am I right in thinking that you met her on two occasions?
Yeah.
When was the first one?
I don't know which came first. I've seen her in the warehouse, working.
Which one?
Costco's Coventry, when I went to see my brother once.
Yeah.
And she's there.
Yeah. Did you talk to her?
No. What they were doing wasn't on the radar.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, and you were aware of that at the time?
I would have been. So that must be the second time. So she's been... He took her for a meal at a restaurant. But,
yeah. Were you aware that he was seeing her before he came to the restaurant?
No.
So that was that the first time then you'd ever seen or heard anything about her?
He might have mentioned, he's not the most loyal person. There might have been a couple that he's talked about. I wouldn't have put known faces or names or anything. So I won't say it was the first time I'd heard of anyone. But it's the first time I met.
Yeah.
When asked what he knew about Samina, David claimed that she was sleeping with his brother. He denied they were in a relationship, though, when the officer suggested Samina and Roger were. He stated, "I wouldn't go that far." And when the officer asked why he wouldn't go that far, he continued, "Because he was in a relationship with his girlfriend." He was pressed further about the relationship his brother had with Samina. This is when he explained, "He's not the most loyal person. There might have been a couple that he's talked about." Samina's car was found by police on Overstone Road in Luton on January 4th. Using data that showed Samina and Roger's car travelling, and the fact that the car had been wiped clean of any forensic evidence, the police knew this was no longer a case of finding Samina. They had to find her body. Roger was arrested on Wednesday, January 7th, 2014, and, considering Samina and Roger's visit to his brother David's house that same day, his brother David was arrested and questioned also. David and Roger Cooper were charged with the murder of Samina Imam on January 9th and brought to the Birmingham Magistrates Court the following morning. A search of David Cooper's home uncovered evidence that Samina had been there, The bottle of Bellini that she had bought was in the fridge, and her sat-nav was hidden in the attic.
David Cooper requested an interview with the police on the 10th of January, the day after he and Roger were charged with murder. Over the course of four separate interviews, he made a chilling confession. He admitted to causing Samina's death, but the story David told this day wasn't the entire truth. When asked about the series of events on Christmas Eve, David claimed that Roger came over to his house, and minutes after he left, a woman knocked on the door of David's home. "This lady," he explained, "I didn't know her name. She died on my sofa."
This lady, I didn't know her name. She died on my sofa. And so it's in Leicester, and that's why I said that's wrong, because it says Coventry.
Okay, we do know. But tell me about the lady dying on your sofa.
Okay, so my brother had been round. Woody made a statement to that effect, and I'm feeling that statement is true, except anything that might implicate myself. So we can go back to that. And then after he went, it just literally gone a minute and the door knocked again and I thought it was him coming back. So I've opened the door because normally I wouldn't open the door. I don't like people. And it was this woman who I knew to be an associate of my brother's for reasons that I've mentioned before and will happily go into again later. And she was like, "Where's Roger?" Like stepping in the house. So I was like, "He's not here, he's gone." And she was like, "I haven't seen him leave." And I was like, "Well, I'll call him. He's just left." And she was like walking through the house. And I said, "Look, just sit down and I'll call him," knowing that I wasn't going to call him. Because clearly, in my mind, for my own reasons, I imagined she was looking for him. And I knew that he wanted to go home. And I knew that he didn't want her knowing where he lived. So I was like, "Gotta let him get away." This sounds really silly, but I was like, "Okay." So I got her to sit on the sofa. And after a cup of tea, she wasn't interested. She was moaning. I don't recall what she was saying, but she was like, "We've made plans. He's supposed to be seeing me." Things like this, which I'm just really vague about. Now, I collect lots of different odds and pieces in my house. You'll find lots of things, and they found lots of things, and none of it makes sense to lots of people, but to me, it's interesting. And so in my kitchen, I've got an ammo box, a military ammo tin, which I think is normal. And in that, I had a bottle of chloroform. And because I'd seen it on telly, and I thought it was okay, I thought, "I'll just shut her up." Because my walls are paper thin, I don't want a scene, and I want to give Roger a few minutes. She wasn't accepting a cup of tea. She wasn't accepting... else. So I literally thought it was a really good idea. So I've got a bucket, which is still in my kitchen, and they can still investigate this. I got the chlorophyll, I poured it over a tea towel, and my kitchen is like two steps beneath floor level of the lounge. And my sofa is right next to the doorway, and I just went in and put it across her face, thinking that it would come out. And as stupid and naive as it sounds, I did think that it would just buy me some time. Because I don't know how long they stay unconscious for. And I kind of put it on her face, sat on her lap, and her arms went up, and I grabbed her arms and I forced them down, and I was like, "Just a couple of breaths." And then, maybe I'll ring Roger and tell him, maybe, but I don't know. She didn't wake up. So, then everything just goes 100 miles an hour. And I didn't ring Roger. From then on, I'm afraid my priority was self-preservation.
Yeah.
And has been right up until today.
Yeah. Up until now?
Yeah. Which sounds really cold.
I understand. Well, I can say
it was normal.
He explained that a woman he had recognised as an associate of his brother's came into his home ranting and raving and asking for the whereabouts of his brother Roger. He stated that he wanted to buy his brother some time to escape the woman, so he sat her down and offered her a cup of tea, which she refused. At this point, David claimed to have been overly aware of the thin walls separating him and his neighbours, and to prevent his neighbours from hearing the shouting woman in his lounge, he went to the kitchen, doused a tea towel in chloroform, and returned to the lounge where Samina sat, suffocated her with the tea towel, and proceeded to sit across her lap, forcing her arms down until she took her last breath and grew still under his weight. During his confession, David frequently referred to his brother and all the nice things he had done for him. David said Roger was cool. Mid-story, he also spoke to himself, saying, "Shut up, David."
So, I was like, quiet shit. She didn't wake up. And I tried, you know what I mean? I felt the pulse. And I've only seen it on TV, and it sounds so stupid. I'm nearly 40 years old, and I was like, it was all weird. It looked like chloroform. It was freezing cold on my hand. It was like burning. That doesn't happen on TV. It was all wrong. It was all wrong. I knew it was wrong straight away. And so I thought, right, no one knows she's here. Right, so that's easy. So I went for a bag. Her keys were on her bag. She put her bag down, the keys were on her bag, and the keys were there. And I was like, right, move the car back to Coventry and no one will know. Easy, isn't it? And strangely, there's a side point which has been talked about a lot, but my brother had hired a car for me. He'd hired a van for me to move house. We both moved at the same time. He'd also, after that, he hired a car for the smaller bits. Like, the main move I did in the van, I did about 70 journeys. It was a small transit. It was stupid. I asked for a transit. I got a small transit. Yeah. I know this is really cold, me talking about me, but that was just quite something. So then he got me a car, and because he's my brother, and it was just cool. Okay, I'm just going to explain about the car.
Yeah, carry on.
I dropped the car off in Coventry. Since I've had the car, I've used it a lot. I'll come back to the car. But when I drop it off, I left it parked on the residential street near to where Rubber Works. Rubber Works in Costco. I'm quite security minded. I wouldn't leave it in the car park. It's vulnerable, especially because I left the keys on the rear driver's wheel. So I parked it on the street outside someone's house, but outside Costco's, with the wheels up on the curb, so that the wheel arch was more concealed and the keys go there. It's absolutely safe. No one will ever know. They won't fall off. Do you know what I mean? And then he will know. He'll go past it. He'll see it there, and he'll know where to get it picked up from. That just made so much sense. Anyway, so driving her car back to Coventry. Now, I've done a lot of driving, and I'd use different routes every time. And this particular time, I went via Enderby and Foss Lane. But I can come back to the details later. That way, you approach Coventry, and you go through Coventry, and you come out at Franklin Benny's. I don't know if you know the area, and it's opposite Costco's. It's really easy. And I could drive back. So it was like fate. To me, I was like, well, how lucky is that? And I drove back, and I thought, well, what do you just think? I just forgot to put the car back. So it worked.
Ultimately, David believed that the number plate recognition cameras were the only reason he didn't get away with his crime.
The rest of my story is about moving the car, which you guys pretty much already know, because I panicked because I couldn't have leave it in Coventry because it was too close to Roger. And I tried moving it down south. I stalled it on the motorway. I got police attention. I can tell you more details. And it was just a complete nightmare, and I just left it in lieu. And the rest of it, I mean, if it was 10 years ago, I would have got away with it. This APN and APNR cameras I didn't know about. And here I am.
A search warrant was granted for David's house and outside the terrace house on Hughenden Road just off Brooksby Street in Leicester. A white tent was erected. From this point on, the stories portrayed by both brothers quickly unravelled. The bottle of Bellini that Samina was seen buying on Christmas Eve was found chilling in David's fridge. The tub of sweets she had bought were in his cupboard, and her sat-nav was found hidden in the attic. Samina's uncle wrote in a Facebook post a warning to others that this could happen to anyone's family. The family were desperate for answers. Roger and David Cooper appeared at Birmingham Court for a preliminary hearing on Tuesday the 13th of January, charged with murder. They were remanded in custody with a provisional trial date set for the end of June. Police were collecting all of the evidence, but one thing they desperately needed was the body. David claimed to have arranged someone else to dispose of Samina's body and referred to her as it during his interview. He said,
"And then I had to get, so I got back home. Now I've got this thing to hide. Sorry, I'm not going to refer to it as anything.
You sure were? It's okay.
So I know a guy, everyone knows people. He's a bit of an idiot and he's got a van. I haven't got his number anymore because I've been there after I rang him. I rang him from a disposable SIM card. His name's Ben. I'm pretty sure you'll need to find him. So this is what you need to know.
So you rang him from a disposable SIM card?
Yeah.
Ben?
Yeah. I've been racking my brain for his surname. I can find it on Facebook, but I don't know it from my top of my head.
We'll come back to all of this, it's all right.
Rang him. He owed me a favour, or he wanted to impress, or he wanted to do what's right by people, whatever his own reasons are. He's not the sort of that lad. And then, I put it in my sleeping bag. Okay, so at my house, there's a sleeping bag covered without a sleeping bag, which, I didn't clean the sofa, I didn't do anything to hide anything, I just covered my tracks. And if I get caught, I get caught. If I don't, I don't. I'm not going to try too hard. So the stuff's still there and they can find it. Unless I get away with it, then I would be able to hide it. Well, I don't know. Anyway, got that gun. That night, really late on Boxing Day night. And I thought it was really good timing because people would be going to bed early on Christmas.
Talking about Christmas Eve still.
It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, still Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I'm thinking, oh, this is working out. Sounds so stupid. Then I've gone through the next few days. I'm like,
so, okay. Did we catch that? So somebody came on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve took it away from me. I don't know. I don't know what happened next. I think it's buried in woodland. I'm not from Leicester. I don't know Leicester. Which is why I've been driving around a lot of space recently, but I think he said something about Swithland Woods, but I've never heard of Swithland Woods, I don't know where it is.
Sorry?
I might have just made that up. Swithland Woods?
Swithland.
I don't even know, right? That's just come to me today, because I wasn't really paying attention when he said it.
A member of the public came forward to police and tipped them off about an allotment that David had. He'd given her a key before his arrest. The information prompted the investigators to begin excavations there. At the allotment used by David, a sign was found hanging in the storage shed that read, "Don't wind me up, I'm running out of places to hide the bodies." A haunting message with a literal undertone, as then, on January 16th, over a week after their arrest, a body was discovered in a grave at the allotment. The body was loosely wrapped in a sleeping bag. The edges of the sleeping bag were discovered, and after experts lifted it, they knew it was Samina Imam's body. Before official identification could take place, West Midlands police arranged for a post-mortem of the body they believed to be Samina's. On the 17th of January, the post-mortem resulted in an inconclusive result. They were now waiting for toxicology results to come back, which could take up to several weeks. Friends shared their sadness with the media and across social channels. One friend said they felt numb and that it was just so very sad. She was a beautiful person inside and out, very professional and a very popular lady. On January 21st, the police confirmed that the body found was that of Samina Imam. In early May 2014, there was a plea hearing held at Birmingham Crown Court. Both Roger and David denied the charge of murder. Judge Patrick Thomas heard that the defendants were seeking an independent toxicology report. The prosecution presented evidence of over 6,000 pages of phone records. The brothers appeared over video link as they had been in custody and were further remanded there until upcoming trial. Judge Thomas said, "The concern of this court is to get on with your case. We need to get on with it efficiently and effectively so you can be tried as soon as possible. For that reason, I have issued directions to make sure things are done as soon as they can be done. You will both remain in custody. I will see you both again, hopefully not on a screen but in court, in July, so we can make sure there are no outstanding matters."
We just want to take a moment to talk about our sponsor of this episode, Best Fiends. True crime can get a little bit heavy. We all need a bit of downtime. I play my new favourite mobile puzzle game, Best Fiends.
I find it's a handy distraction when I'm waiting for the kettle to boil or for the baby to fall asleep. You can even play it without Wi-Fi, so it's perfect for on the go without using your data.
Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and mini challenges, so it never gets old, and no matter how fast you are, you will not run out of levels easily. Best Fiends treats the game like a service for their players.
It's engaging and fun. I like to play it in the evenings. It helps me wind down before I go to bed. It's fast-paced and the levels don't take too long to complete, so you can pick it up and put it down whenever you like. You can collect different bugs and they all have different skills, so you can use them tactically to defeat the slugs. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the or. Best Fiends.
The trial began in August of 2015. Opening for the prosecution, Barrister Timothy Spencer told the court that David Cooper bought chloroform and copper powder online before Samina Amman was killed. He detailed for the jury the affair between Roger Cooper and Samina. The court was told that Samina had given Roger an ultimatum, urging him to leave his partner Susan Potts. The relationship was a secret regardless due to Costco's employee regulations that forbade relationships between managers and other members of staff. The prosecutor said that these culminating factors, the ultimatum and threat to his job, meant that Roger Cooper decided to take a drastic step to get Samina Amman out of his life. Mr. Spencer also spoke about the relationship Roger was having with another member of staff, Sinead Sweeney. Mr. Spencer told the court about the relationships Roger was having and how he treated the women he was seeing. He said, "We have, at Costco, do we not, a tangled web of relationships. That created a problem for Roger Cooper. He was trying to juggle three relationships with three different women. He was to reveal to Sinead Sweeney a darker side to his character. On one occasion, he told her, 'Do not cross me.' He told her that he was a dangerous man if he was backed into a corner. We say that Samina Amman was doing just that in December. She was backing him into a corner that he didn't want to be in. He was right in saying that he was dangerous. He wasn't just dangerous, he was fatal." The prosecutor went on to describe the last time Samina was seen alive. He said that she left Costco on Christmas Eve before travelling to Leicester with Roger Cooper to go to his brother David's house. David had a gift for Roger, a Star Wars gift, something they both enjoyed. He said that this was not the only reason Roger Cooper went to his brother's house that night, but just a cover story for something more sinister. The court heard how most murders driven from a sexual relationship with affairs are usually as a result of spontaneous events driven by anger and or jealousy leading to an outburst of emotions ending fatally. However, this crime uncovered weeks and weeks of plans and undercover communications between the brothers to plan to kill Samina. This wasn't even the first attempt to take Samina's life. It was discovered that they had in fact originally planned to kill Samina while she was at a Christmas party on the 12th of December. Roger had contacted Samina and told her that he had a surprise for her back at the hotel. He said to meet him there. She headed back to the hotel and got a taxi to drop her right outside the hotel's front door. Upon entrance to the hotel, she discovered Roger wasn't there. He hadn't booked a room or arrived to surprise her. While this was unravelling inside the hotel, Roger's brother David was sat outside the hotel in a hire car texting with his brother in Star Wars code, such as, "Stay on target, stay on target, you are expected, Vader." David then sent a message to Roger in broken French, which loosely translated to, There is no point, no score. The window of opportunity is closed. It is unclear why they did not take her from Solihull Premier Inn that evening. But 12 days later, they saw their mission through, followed by another Star Wars text that simply read, "Death Star complete." The case was that David and Roger Cooper conspired together to poison Samina Imam to prevent her from exposing the affair. The prosecution alleged that the brothers had spent a month hatching the plan. Samina had booked a two-night stay for a Birmingham hotel for Christmas. She'd purchased Bellini and sweets for the stay. After leaving Costco separately on Christmas Eve, she parked her car on a side road and met Roger Cooper before going to David's house. It was here that Samina was killed with chloroform. The bottle of Bellini would later be found in the fridge in David's kitchen. On the second day of trial, Mr. Spencer continued his opening argument and alleged that Roger Cooper was covering his tracks and staying as far away as physically possible from the plan he hatched with his brother. It was said that David Cooper had purchased 200 millilitres of chloroform and 50 grams of copper powder on eBay on December 8, 2014. The prosecutor told the court that David Cooper had an extra phone that had only ever been used to communicate with his brother Roger. The Crown also alleged that Roger Cooper began concocting a story as soon as he left David's house on Christmas Eve. Mr. Spencer said that they believe Samina was killed between 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. that night, and at 7 p.m. a text was sent from Samina's phone saying, "I am fuming. I'm going to where I'm truly cared for." Mr. Spencer said that this was to support Roger's story that Samina had left angrily. Mr. Spencer said, "He is a calculating man. He would need at some point, wouldn't he, an explanation for why they had not gone to Malmaison together, and that is why he needed this text. It must have been him who sent it. You'll be satisfied that Samina could not have moved back from Leicester, and you are very likely to conclude that she was already dead." The prosecutor said that they believed that Samina was killed in David's house on Christmas Eve and buried in an allotment on Christmas morning. Mr. Spencer ended his argument by speaking about how David Cooper had nothing to gain by Samina's death, but Roger Cooper would be rid of a troublesome spectre that jeopardised his career and jeopardised his relationship with the woman he regarded as his wife. On December 26th, David Cooper drove to pick up Samina's car and abandoned it on a side street in Luton. 3 days later, he went back to the car and cleaned away any fingerprints or DNA evidence that could link him to the vehicle.
Witness testimony began on the fourth day of trial. Mira Chavda, David Cooper's partner, testified that she had went to his house on Christmas Eve and noticed nothing out of the ordinary. David had told the police that he had put a tea towel soaked in chloroform over Samina's face to shut her up, and that she died on his sofa. The court was told that Samina's death was because of the chloroform. Pathologists also found a bizarre range of metals in Samina's blood, including cadmium, manganese, arsenic, tin, antimony, and mercury. Professor Robin Braithwaite, a toxicologist, said that it was unlikely Samina's death was caused by ingesting these chemicals, but it seemed as though she may have ingested them on multiple occasions. This supported the prosecution's allegation that Roger and David had tried to poison Samina before. Forensic pathologist John Slaughter said that the chloroform was found on four samples they had taken from Samina's body. They revealed results of 51 to 59 milligrams per litre. Chloroform intoxication usually results in levels between 10 and 194 milligrams per litre. When questioned by the defence for David Cooper, Nadine Radford, as to whether chloroform could be made at home, the pathologist answered that it could be. It was on January 11th when someone contacted the police to tell them that David Cooper had given her a set of keys to his allotment that the police began to search the area for Samina's body. It was found there 5 days later. Dr. Frances Hollingbury testified that she had been contacted by the police on January 15th when they had found a potential burial site. The next day, Samina's body was uncovered in the allotment, inside a sleeping bag, with a plastic bag over her head and a scarf. Dr. Hollenberry carried out a post-mortem the following day at Leicester Royal Infirmary. She said that Samina had cling film wrapped around her legs and it was evident that she had been positioned head down within 2 hours of her death. Dr. Hollenberry found a small graze on Samina's forehead, as well as signs of bruising to her right thigh and arm and significant bruising to her upper arms and shoulder. The pathologist stated, "Every case is like a jigsaw, trying to put together the pieces. In this case, the information I needed to determine the cause of death was in the toxicology. In my opinion, Miss Imam died as a result of the chloroform." The membranes of Samina's nose and mouth were reddened and bleeding, which substantiated the claim that she was killed from chloroform poisoning. Dr. Hollenberry said the chloroform is an anaesthetic, and if you have too much of it, you could fall into such a deep sleep that you stop breathing.
The defence began their case in the fourth week of the trial. Barrister Mukhtar Hussain told the jury that there was no disputing that Roger Cooper was having an affair with Samina Imam. He told the jury that on Christmas Eve, Roger told Samina that he was going to his brother's house in Leicester. Mr. Hussain said that Samina asked Roger if she could go with him, and when they arrived in Leicester, she was angry and went back out to the car where she sat in the back seat. The barrister said, "She was shouting at Roger Cooper. She was angry about the lack of trust and respect and told Roger Cooper that he had crossed the line. She was sobbing, crying, shouting, hysterical. She clearly thought, you may think, that her privacy had been invaded when he had asked his brother to go and spy on her." This was a reference to Roger Cooper's allegation that Samina had become infuriated with him when he disclosed that he was having her watched at a Premier Inn before. The defence continued that as they travelled to Coventry, Samina asked to be let out of the car, and that was the last time Roger saw her. He also claimed that Roger lost all trust and faith in investigators when they took his mobile phone. Roger Cooper then took the stand and told the jury that he'd been working at Costco since the mid-90s. He said that after finishing work at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve 2014, he drove to his brother's house with Samina, who he said was in a great mood. He then said, "Towards the end of our time there, I thought it was a good idea to say about how I had had the Premier Inn watched on December 11th, thinking she would see the funny side. When I said that, her mood changed. She looked irritated. She clearly didn't want to be there anymore." After this, they left and Samina refused to sit in the front seat. She apparently didn't want to be near Roger, and he dropped her off near a Tesco store on the M69 roadway. He said that he didn't tell the police about the trip to Leicester because he'd never been involved in an investigation before and didn't want to harm his relationship because of something he apparently thought would blow over. During cross-examination by the Crown Prosecution, Roger denied misleading the police in initial interviews to avoid raising suspicion. He said, "At the time, being it was still Coventry, it wouldn't have made much difference. I didn't believe it would be that important. She was back in Coventry. I didn't know it would be the last time she was seen." When he was questioned about the response he made during his police interviews when he asked why no one had found Samina's car, he said, "At that point, I had been in that room for a number of hours and I had no indication that there was any effort going into looking for her." Roger Cooper was then questioned by his brother's barrister and denied poisoning Samina with chloroform or putting her car keys through David's letterbox on Christmas Day and requesting that the car was hidden. David Cooper had alleged at the trial that he had found Samina's body after being asked to transport a car and that he had not killed her, despite admitting in interviews with the police that he had. Detective Chief Inspector Caroline Marsh of West Midlands Police said, "I would say this is the most callous offence I've ever investigated. Most murders that occur are spontaneous events driven by anger or jealousy, whereas in this case, what we uncovered was weeks and weeks of planning to kill Samina, numerous attempts on her life, and a really unusual cause of death. We very rarely see chloroform homicides. It's been a particularly challenging case and a particularly complex investigation, and we are extremely grateful to the jury who have listened to the case and given us the verdict we've had today. The trial exposed that Roger never planned to leave his partner Susan Fox, and knowing that he never intended to do this meant that he knew the risk of Samina possibly exposing their affair would lead to not only the likely end of this relationship, but he would also potentially face losing the job he'd held for 25 years. With this in mind, Roger calculated a cold and premeditated crime. Once Roger and Samina had reached David's house, she was almost immediately attacked. The pair had arrived at the house in Leicester around 5 p.m, and Samina had died sometime between 5:07 and 6:26 p.m. At little over 5 foot, Samina was overwhelmed by the brothers, who each stood at 6'5" and 6'7". She had been suffocated with a chloroform-soaked tea towel and held down by the men. When she had taken her last breath, her head was covered with a plastic bag. This was when Roger left his brother to dispose of Samina's body. Prosecutor Timothy Spencer QC said, "He did pick the Star Wars figure up, but we say the reality of that journey is that it had a much more sinister motive. It was really about what was going to happen to Samina Imam." Professor Robin Braithwaite explained the toxicology report, stating the cause of death was chloroform toxicity. David had used his own eBay account to buy copper powder, and at the beginning of December, to buy chloroform. Mr. Braithwaite said, "I don't think I have ever seen a case previously where there was such a diverse range of metallic elements." There was strong technological evidence in this case. Samina's car was seen being driven by someone that was not Samina, and following its journey from Coventry to Leicester, it was wiped of DNA and fingerprints and abandoned in Luton. Digital forensic officers captured the background stream of data from apps on their phones to see that messages that had been deleted were crucial pieces of evidence. When Roger had returned home after driving Samina to her death, he sent a text to himself from her phone. The message read, "I am fuming. I'm going to where I'm truly cared for." Supposedly as an attempted alibi. He followed this by sending a message to Samina on Christmas Day, knowing that she was dead. The message simply said, "Merry Christmas." Roger had a clear motive to kill Samina. It was to cover his own back, to prevent the loss of his job and his partner finding out about his affairs, not only with Samina, but also with Sinead Sweeney, of whom he was a direct line manager. But why was his brother, ex-soldier David, so obliging to kill a woman he barely knew? He had admitted in a police interview, "I don't like people." But to commit murder? While Samina had spent December telling her friends how excited she was for Roger to be all mine, Roger had spent it planning her murder with his brother. They attempted to kill her on December 12th and the 22nd, and they finally succeeded on Christmas Eve. The brothers were found guilty by unanimous jury vote on the 20th of October 2015. Samina had worked at Costco for 12 years and worked her way to her position from the bottom. She was hardworking, bubbly, kind, and she was adored by her friends and family alike. During his victim impact statement, Samina's brother Imran Aman said, "The circumstances in which Samina was murdered plagues me greatly. I constantly think of her last moments and her final thoughts and fears. Samina was a mentor, a guide, a counsel during difficult times. I will no longer be able to seek her advice. I am forever reminded of her loss with constant triggers to memories from her life. Worse still, with triggers such as road signs for locations which I understand are linked to her death. I worry about the world we live in and the risk that something similar could happen, God forbid. I have questions for those who did this. I fear these questions, these open wounds, will never be answered, will never heal." Sam's father, Imam Dim, said, "Samina was very special to me and my wife. I could talk for days about Samina and what she meant to us and her sisters, brothers, nieces, nephews, and family and friends. and it breaks our heart that we cannot have her back home where she should be. As a family, we are absolutely devastated at the loss of Samina. Nothing could ever have prepared us for hearing from the police that they believed that our daughter had been murdered. We are praying and hoping that Samina was still alive and holding on to any little tiny bit of hope we could that the police were wrong. You almost have a feeling that she has died and begin to grieve, but then you go back to holding on to any little shred of hope that she may come back to us alive. It is hard for us to even imagine that an innocent, kind, beautiful girl could be murdered, let alone our daughter. We are still in shock, and we are all missing Samina in so many different ways. Everything in our life and future has been affected, even to the point of worrying about our other children and grandchildren going out and thinking that they won't be safe.
The sentencing hearing was held on October 21st, 2015. Setting out the facts of the case, Judge Thomas said that it was clearly a premeditated murder that had been carefully planned. They purchased chloroform online and were planning on killing Samina on December 12th. This did not succeed, but Roger still spent the night with her as if nothing happened. He then continued his plan with his brother David, who had already dug and prepared a grave at his allotment before killing Samina on December 24th. They had concealed the body and buried it, denying Samina's family the chance to say goodbye, as this action accelerated decomposition significantly. These aggravating factors were weighed in as the judge passed his sentence. The only mitigating factor was that these men seemed to be perceived as having good characters. The use of chloroform was found to be a particularly heinous aspect of the crime, likened to poisoning. Judge Thomas sentenced Roger and David Cooper to 30 years in prison for Samina's murder. He addressed the brothers and said, "The use of a poison in a case such as this demonstrates a cold-blooded intention to kill, regardless of the consequences. You work together, hand in glove, in planning and carrying out the murder of a joyful and bubbly young woman, brutally betrayed by a man she loved and his brother. It was a long-planned, deliberate murder of a young woman whose misfortune it was to have fallen in love with you, Roger Cooper. You killed a bright, selfless, ambitious, hard-working and life-loving woman. A daughter, a sister and an aunt. Because that fact was inconvenient to you. You, Roger Cooper, took her to Leicester, to your brother's house. Exactly what happened there you know, and no one else does. But I am satisfied that hardly had she entered the house that you tall, strong men held her helpless while one of you administered chloroform, probably in a cloth, to her face." Their sentence was appealed and reduced to 28 years. Samina Imam's death was senseless. Roger Cooper was afraid that the affair would be outed, causing him to lose his job and other relationships. David Cooper aided his brother and ended a young woman's life while communicating in movie references, as if acting out a film scene. Roger Cooper managed to get three women to fall for him. It was unfortunate for Samina, and lucky for the other two women, that Samina was the one who had her life cut short so that he could maintain the facade of being a reliable worker and good partner. While Samina had been looking forward to their new life together, Roger and David Cooper were planning out how to end hers. All she wanted was Roger to herself. After spending 2 years as a secret, she delivered an ultimatum, knowing she deserved more. And he decided that she had to die for that. Thank you for listening to Crime Lapse and for all of your support this year. If you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a review, subscribing, sharing, or joining our Patreon, where you will be helping to fund an independent podcast. Take care of yourselves and each other.
That is so fucked up.
It's fucked up.
I'm so fucked up. It is just so damn fucked up. That's fucked up.
This is That's So Fucked Up, a podcast about cults, murder, and other fucked up stuff. Like, really, really fucked up stuff. He cut off her nipples, tore out her heart, tied it to a rope, and hung it on the wall.
This cult has everything. Magic, rituals, child sacrifice, cloaks, daggers, and even a little arms dealing.
The fucking sharks ate Mark. Under the dinghy.
Strangled him to death so violently that he ended up asphyxiating on his own vomit.
Ugh. We're your hosts. I'm Ashley Richards.
And I'm Cameron Dexter.
Join us every Fucked Up Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
and everywhere you listen to podcasts.
That's fucked up.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.